Hello, everybody. Happy Thursday. I almost said happy Friday. It's Friday in my head. Susan Baracco, welcome, welcome. Glad you're here. If you would, please type in the chat and say hello, just so that I know you can hear me, that my audio is working properly. Welcome. Cheryl, hey, glad you're here. Chris, welcome. Gabrielle is here again. Scott, Mariana, and Sam. Hey, great to have you here, Sam. Glad that you're able to join us. Hey, folks, saying hello in the chat. Thank you. Hello from Iowa. Wow. It's a beautiful day where I am today. Sunny and 70 and dry and just spectacular. So, hey, Laird, welcome. Glad you're here. If you feel like answering our just for fun question today, I'm focused on food and special occasion food in particular, things like maybe that you only have at a holiday or maybe someone makes you for your birthday or something like that. Feel free to answer. McElvey, hey there, welcome. Welcome, welcome.
Hi, how are you doing? Good to be here.
Good. All right. Scott says he's munching on nachos and salsa. That sounds great. Sounds wonderful. Chris says veal scallopini. Oh, yum. Especially when someone else makes it for you. I love to cook, but boy, it's a treat. Good, good. Well, for those of you who are new to the program, first of all, welcome. Glad you're here. If this is your first call, the way that it works is that I start out by asking you a couple of questions just for an update to get a sense of where you are in the program and check in, so to speak. And then we go to the question and answer portion where you will put your question, type it in the chat, and I will bring you on live if I need more clarification or more background. And so if you can't participate live, if you're somewhere where you wouldn't be able to speak, then just let me know that. And then we kind of run through and have some fun answering questions. And I encourage all of you to please participate, share your ideas and your thoughts in the chat as people ask questions. It's always nice to have plenty of feedback, and you know, it's what these calls are for. So welcome once again. Let me see. Mariana says paella. Indeed. Indeed. One of my favorites is bouillabaisse. Had the pleasure of having it in France, in the south of France. My husband's relatives live in Marseille and made us paella when we visited. Bouillabaisse from scratch. It was amazing. So, and that's not something I can replicate, unfortunately, but wow, it's a treat. All right. Who else has joined us here? Let me just take a look. Oh, we have a nice group today. All right, I'm going to dive into our first question, and it's always about wins for the week. And I'd love to hear what has been a win for you this week, and it can be something small. You know, small steps are still steps, my favorite saying, and one of my favorites. And anything that you've made progress with in your business and in the course, anywhere really, any kind of progress that you've made or any kind of a win that we'd love to celebrate with you. So please type in the chat, enter a capital W so I know what it is when I scroll through and I don't miss it. It's been an interesting week, so hopefully you've had a good week so far, but anything at all that you think of as a win? I know for us, things are starting to open back up in my area. So that's it's kind of a win for me to be able to get back out and start actually seeing people in person here and there. McElvie says, published my first post on Medium yesterday after months and months of delaying. Congratulations. Congratulations. That's a great win. I love that. Sometimes it's hard for us to do our writing for ourselves can be challenging. Cheryl says, homepage change, not a very productive time. Yeah, it has been a challenging week. I found that as well this particular week. So, and I've been very busy, unfortunately. Fortunately, I guess. Mariana says, I published my first article after returning from maternity leave. Very happy. Congrats. Nice. Scott said, finally worked on the new website via Wix. Looks much better than my own earlier version. Great. So what website is a fair amount of heavy lifting, isn't it? Yeah, good for you. Let me see. Chris said, slow but positive progress on my positioning content. Great. Congrats. Progress is progress. Let's see. And Gabrielle says, found and joined a local group for creative entrepreneurs on LinkedIn. Nice. Oh, that's great. Great resource. Good for you. That'll be some good networking and potential partnerships and things like that. Good for you. And if you aren't familiar with groups on LinkedIn, you definitely want to check them out. There are, gosh, a couple of years ago when I was traveling and teaching LinkedIn for a major client of mine, there were over 2.5 million groups on LinkedIn, different types of groups. So that was a couple of years back. So I can imagine it's grown. Definitely worth poking around to see what kind of groups are out there that might be of value for you to join. And Laird said, to help with my imposter syndrome, I created email and blog post samples. Great. Good for you. Great, great. All right, moving on. I would love to hear where you are in the program. And we ask this as, you know, what material are you implementing? Are you in session 1, 2, 3, 4, or so, and so on? Are you doing lots of networking, doing more warm emailing? Are you, you know, what are you working on right now? This is helpful for me to know where you are so that I can hopefully answer appropriately and understand where you might need the most support. If you would just type in the chat with a capital I and let me know what you're implementing. I know I think Scott said working on the new website. So if you haven't already shared, then definitely let me know. Gabrielle, prospecting. Good for you. Good for you. Scott's in session 5, about to start some warm emailing this month. Terrific. It's good timing. I think it's really good timing to start getting out and doing the warm emailing. Laird says he's building lists and prospecting. Good. Good, good, good. Great. Mariana says she's working on session 4 and on her starter list. Great. Good. Thank you. McElvie says reworking site content to submit for review. So your session 2. Great. Good. I'll look forward to seeing that. Wonderful. All right. Well, let's dive into questions. And I see Cheryl just snuck in there, still on session 5, updating the rest of my website page. It's great. And Chris is compiling an action list of prioritized tasks. Good. Good, good. So, question and answer session. It's the biggest part of the call. This is something I really want to encourage you to type in a question and don't feel that your question is silly or, you know, just don't worry about what you're asking. It's important to ask questions. Everybody's in the same place here. And that's why this program is so helpful, because everybody's going through the same thing. I find a lot of times someone will ask a question and I get, you know, feedback in the chat saying, oh, so glad, you know, so glad somebody asked that, because I was wondering the same thing. So don't be shy. Type in a capital Q. If you would, keep your question focused and specific as much as possible, and just one question at a time. And we've got a decent sized group here today, so I could always come back around. And as I mentioned earlier, if you are available to talk, I will bring you on if needed. Sometimes it's helpful for me to get a little bit of background information so that I can clearly understand your question. So feel free to type in the chat, capital Q, and ask away. Ask away. And don't be shy. Like I said, this is a time for you to take advantage of this part of the program. Quiet group today. There you are. Hey, Gabrielle. Gabrielle says, what do you think about accepting connection requests on LinkedIn from people you don't know with no messages? That's a difficult call. For me, I don't typically do that. Probably the first thing I do if I see a name come up with an invite from someone I don't recognize, I will look to see if we have any mutual connections. And if we have none, then I usually don't accept. It's just, you know, I look to see what are they, you know, what's their background, without looking at their profile, just seeing what's their title and that kind of thing. I try to assess whether or not they'd be a valuable connection for me. I curate, and I use that word intentionally, I curate my connections on LinkedIn. It took me a while to figure that out. Once you get to session 5, there is a training that I put together that I recorded a while back. And it's all about LinkedIn and explaining how it works. And, you know, just because it's different from Facebook, and most people are familiar with Facebook. But LinkedIn works differently. And so what I would recommend is that, you know, it's a personal choice, but I am very, very, very selective about who I connect with in both directions. So whether I'm reaching out, my invites are very strategic. I only reach out to people that I truly want to be connected to. They're a potential client, you know, they're a prospect, or they might be an important network connection for me. It's someone that I really want to be connected to. I want to hear from them, see what's going on, or I want to make sure that I have access to them. So I'm very mindful about who I reach out to. And I kind of use the same philosophy on the inbound requests as well, because I get a fair amount of requests. And I've been on LinkedIn since 2006, and I still only have just over 2,000 connections in my network, first level connections. So I'm not looking for volume. I'm looking for quality. You know, it's not about quantity for me. It's about quality. I want to make sure I'm connected to the right people, and that the right people are seeing and reading what I have to put out there. I'm not a big fan of the open networking thing. Some of you might be, that might work for you, and that's fine, but it's just personally not, you know, I'm not that interested in just having everybody on LinkedIn be a connection. And there are definitely some, I would be hesitant to, you know, I guess the short answer there is I'd be hesitant to just accept requests unless they've explained why they're reaching out. And that's part of the training that I actually include in those videos. I think we have it broken down into two videos. So part of the training is talking about the value of a good invite, a good connection request, and how to do it the right way. And basically you're saying, hi, it was great to meet you the other day at the networking event. I see that we both know Sally. I think we should be connected too. So you want to remind the person of how they know you or something along those lines. And then something that might be a connection point of some sort, like, oh gosh, we both know Sally. Or it might be, hey, I read that article that you posted, really enjoyed, I agree with the point you made on X, whatever it might be. So it's a good way to show that you did your homework and that you're paying, you're not just, you know, reaching out to lots of people. The other thing I find, Gabrielle, sometimes if you accept a request, sometimes they turn into spammers where they're just inundating you with emails on the in-mail system within LinkedIn with, hey, you know, today only and buy now. And that's just like, go away. I really, really don't want to fill up my inbox, if you will, on LinkedIn with that kind of stuff. I try to be careful. So I hope that helps. And McElvey is next. And I hope I'm saying your name right. excuse me. Somewhere in your materials. Excuse me. Hold on. Somewhere in your materials, it says clients don't want to see a client who does B2B and B2C writing. Why is that? What data info do you have on this? Good question. That's interesting. Does B2B and B2C? So there, it's two different styles of writing. And I think that's why people want to see you have a concentration in one particular area. It is a very different style of writing. So for example, a B2B target audience is going to be interested in a different set, solving a different set of problems than a B2C audience is. They're very different typically. And there might be different emotional buttons that you need to push in order to get them to take action. You know, B2C writing is very different in the sense that you're really digging in and trying to emotionally push a button, quite literally, so that they feel connected to what you're saying. They feel connected to, ooh, I need to have this product or this service in order to solve my problem. They understand. And so B2B is similar, but not quite the same style. I mean, that would be the only thing that I could think of. I certainly would recommend that you post that in that question in the Facebook group so that Ed can take a look at it as well. He probably will have a slightly different answer for you, but it would be good to get his perspective considering it's, you know, he put this program together. So I definitely just take that exact same question and post it in the Q&A and make sure and tag Ed and have him give you some feedback on that as well. All right, Gabrielle, just reading your follow-up here. I definitely would recommend Gabrielle, just keep in mind strategy. Just be really selective and strategic. Like, is this person going to be able to, are they connected to the right people, people that I'm interested in? And what I mean by that is, so I would recommend that you look at people who are calling on the same people that you are. So for instance, a CPA, you know, an accountant might be calling on a set of small businesses, and I'm trying to prospect small businesses as well. So I want to connect with a CPA. I want to connect with a business attorney. I want to connect with other people like me that are, I'm not in competition with in any way, but that I are selling into and trying to get the same, get the attention of the same audience, because they're already going to be connected with people in that, you know, with targets or prospects in that market. So be thinking about who else sells to your audience. And, you know, that's just one example of a strategic connection. Like, yeah, that's the person I want to be connected to because they're doing business with, they're already doing business with the people I want to do business with. So I hope that's helpful. Chris, you're up next. He says, I live in California, and regarding Ed's podcast, California's disastrous AB 5 law, how concerned should I be and what should I do to augment my prospecting copy and strategy? That I am pretty sure that he talked about that. And that I'm going to have to get back to you on, Chris. I wish I could answer that here, but I'm not going to be able to. I'd rather double check with him for you. Same thing. If you'd like, Chris, you certainly can, you know, copy and paste this question right into the Q&A thread on the Facebook page, so that Ed can give you some feedback on that. I'm familiar with the situation, but I don't have a lot to offer on it. And so I certainly don't want to answer it, in terms, especially about how concerned should you be. Ed's been following this topic and I have not, followed it that closely. So not sure where that, I wouldn't really quite know how to answer that for you appropriately. So definitely post it in the Facebook group and I can also follow up as well. I'm just going to make a note. Okay. All right, Scott, your question is next. Scott says, my big issue is starting to prospect while avoiding crossing folks with my current job. Like on LinkedIn, lots of people are connected there. I want to find some part-time work to start and gradually build to move away from my current job. And that's a fine line to walk. I agree. I think the challenge with making that change is if you definitely cannot let them know that you're heading in this direction, you know, some companies are fine with you having quote unquote side gig as long as it doesn't compete. But if you're competing in any way, or if it's, you know, if it's something that you feel is a little bit too close, then it is definitely a fine line. And I understand that. The best thing to do with LinkedIn in particular is to, you could probably get away with adding something to your work experience that talks about writing, and keep it kind of general. You don't have to do that, but you can start reaching out on LinkedIn and prospecting the same way that we recommend. You're not going to be posting anything and saying, hey, you know, I'm doing this or I'm doing that, but you want to be really targeted. You can still use LinkedIn to connect with prospects, to find them and connect with them without really garnering too much attention necessarily. And, you know, connecting with them there and then taking it offline, not offline, but off of LinkedIn and into email to start making connections. I think the hardest part is maybe work, unless, you know, you're calling on somebody or, you know, trying to connect with somebody who does business with your current company. You know, that might be a little bit too close and that might come up in conversation somewhere along the line, and might not be a good idea, but I think there's enough, depending on your industry and who your target market. I think you definitely want to start connecting with people in the industry. I mean, I would tell you not to hesitate to do that, and move in that direction. Because so let's say you and I are connected and we work together. Let's say I work at your company and we're connected on LinkedIn. If you go out and connect with someone in my network, someone else, let's say it's somebody that you want to be, you know, it's a prospect for you. I don't get notified of that. I wouldn't know. I have no idea that you've connected with John, who's, you know, a great target for you, a great prospect for you. And he and I are, you know, maybe there's LinkedIn doesn't notify me when you make a connection with someone in my network. So that's, I mean, that's the good news. You can make these connections without, it's almost doing it blind. You know, no one else is notified of that. I'm not sure if that helps, but I would encourage you to move ahead, move slowly, but move ahead with that. Ah, got it. Scott, I just saw your follow-up. No direct competition, just the idea that Scott seems to be looking. It's hard to tell, you know, how your boss might respond. But if there's not really any competition, then I would encourage you to just, you know, quietly start making those connections. And what's nice is that you may find that you've got a lot of mutual connections. You might look at someone and see, oh, wow, we have 5 shared connections all in this industry. That's a great, I use that all the time to, for my invites. So I'll type something along the lines of an invite like, hey, John, I see that you and I have several mutual connections and I thought we'd benefit from being connected as well. Thanks. It's that simple. I type pretty much the same thing all the time. I use something very similar. And I don't, you know, or I might even say, hey, I see you and I are both connected to John. I thought it would be of value for us to be connected as well. Something along those lines. So I use that as an intro, an invite. That's the way I phrase my invites. And it works really well, actually. So you have an opportunity to really build your network in the marketplace that you want to be in. And you can do it in a way, especially where your current job title is your current job. People aren't going to look at it and think, oh, they're trying to sell me something, right? You're probably going to be kind of incognito, so to speak. I think you'll have success doing it that way. All right, Mariana. Another question from you. A couple of years ago, when I started my freelance business, I already tapped my connections and sent them emails. Now my connections have increased. Does it make sense to reconnect with the ones I already emailed back then? Maybe mention that I'm back after maternity leave. I think that's a great idea. That's a great idea. The other thing you could do is think about, you know, it was a couple of years ago. You've probably made some changes, maybe things are subtle changes to your approach or maybe to the services you offer. Maybe you've added a few things, something like that. Maybe you're doing slightly different writing or something along those lines. You know, our businesses evolve as we go, where we start out and where we end up often look different. Certainly has been my experience, and I've seen it with many, many people, is they start out, you know, saying, oh, I'm going to write, you know, blogs, or I'm going to work with nonprofits, or I'm going to focus on this audience. And you end up pivoting, you end up over a course of time realizing, gosh, that wasn't really a fit, or I don't really like doing that work, or whatever the case may be. Maybe there isn't as much business there as you thought. So you're going to pivot at some point, most likely. So if there's anything that's changed in your business in those couple of years that, that you emailed them to begin with, then definitely it's worth mentioning that. Also, with what's going on in the world in regards to the virus and the way that quarantine and this whole situation has impacted all of us, you certainly can reach out and to your whole network and say, hey, you know, checking in, making sure you're okay, and to let you know that, you know, I'm here to help with communications around this particular topic and help you stay relevant and sensitive to your audience's situation. So you could do a couple of different, you could approach it a couple different ways, but yes, I would recommend reaching out to all of them again. It's worth it. You know, and now that it's, you know, it's summer, you could use that as an, you know, it's June, we're into the month of June now. Maybe you could use that. Say, you know, I'm just looking to, you know, to, for the second half of the year, looking to, you know, reconnect with people, that kind of thing. lots of different ways that you could word it, but I think it's a great idea. Or your maternity leave too. That's kind of cool. That's a fun thing to be able to include as well. All right. Some great questions. Great questions here today. Thank you for those of you who've participated already. Definitely have time for more questions if anybody has them. If it's something that I can help with, absolutely will. I actually started out, I'll tell you, and for those of you who've been on the calls, have been in the program for a little bit, you may have heard me tell the story, but I definitely changed my business a couple of times over the years. I've been doing this for 7-ish years, something like that. And at the time when I started, I was still working full time and, and trying to start my business on the side as well. Very, very challenging to do. And what I thought I wanted to do in the beginning, it looks nothing like what I'm doing today. I don't even do the same kind of writing anymore and do the same kind of work for any of my clients. So now I've pivoted. I probably pivoted twice, maybe three times in the course of that 7 years where I changed everything. And that's why when we talk about, you're developing your messaging right now, this is a stick in the sand. It's a starting point only. So when we say, get it as close to good as you can and then move on, that's why, because we want you to have a place to start and a good message to go out and get in front of your current target audience. But down the road, 6 months, a year down the road, you realize, gosh, I'm not enjoying this work, or maybe it doesn't pay as well as I thought or would like, or lots of different reasons why you might make some changes as you move forward. So don't worry about, gosh, I've got to make it absolutely perfectly right now. You don't. It's definitely something that it's got some flexibility, and your business is going to develop over time. You're going to find that you enjoy some work better than others. Some clients, maybe you find, wow, I really want to work in this industry, and I didn't realize how much fun I could have writing for this particular industry. Sometimes you stumble across something. As you're out there networking, you're out there prospecting, and talking to people as you're growing your business, it's amazing what kind of work comes up. I mean, I still get, people reaching out to me saying, hey, can you help me with my resume? Or can you help me with, this or that? And I don't really do that kind of work. I did help people with resumes really, really early on, just helping them to clean them up a bit, but that's just not something I really personally enjoy all that much. So that's kind of why I moved in a different direction, but just know that I want you to really concentrate on finding a place to begin your journey, and not necessarily that you're going to live with forever. This is a starting point only. And that's a really important thing to keep in mind. So I hope that's helpful as you're developing all of this, you're figuring out, I suggest that you do this think of it in phases. I often talk about phases of your journey, of your business and your freelance journey. This is phase one. And you're learning. This is a huge learning curve for all of you in terms of, if you haven't been a freelancer before, if you haven't been in business for yourself before, this is a pretty major learning curve. So give yourself the space and the room and the permission to try some things. And I often recommend that you think of it too as testing. So let's put some stuff out there, see what happens. Let's test it. Let's see if it works. Let's see if it's sort of like A/B testing. We tried this message and got this result or this kind of a response, but we shifted the message this to this just a little bit, and wow, we doubled our response rate. Okay, so you're doing the same thing in building your freelance business right now. It's just, all right, let's run with this for a bit, see what kind of response, see how it works, and then go from there and move from there. So just keep an open mind about making sure that what you get yourself ready with is good. We want it to be good, right? But it doesn't have to be perfect. All right. Hey, Cheryl. Thanks for the question. The elephant in the room. Absolutely. Any tips for maintaining motivation and focus with the extraordinary events taking place all over our country? It came up in the 60s. It's hard not to despair with deja vu all over again. Besides not obsessively checking Facebook and CNN, do we need to modify our message? So interesting. Ed and I actually exchanged emails this week because I was launching a brand new online program that I developed. It's a training program, and I was planning on launching it Monday. And I put a couple of things, one announcement on LinkedIn and one on Facebook, and I left it there for about an hour, and then I went and took it down. So it's definitely something to be aware of. It is definitely an interesting time this particular week. And it would probably be the only time that Ed and I would recommend that maybe you work on something other than prospecting this week, simply because it's very almost fragile. You know, people are on edge. You know, we're all on edge because we've been cooped up for so long now, a couple of months, and haven't been able to leave our houses, haven't been able to do all the things that we typically enjoy. And then to add this situation on top of it, it has been challenging. It's been very distracting. So, you know, this week in particular, it might make more sense to go back and, you know, if you're in the prospecting module, if you're in five, get things ready to launch starting next week, starting Monday. But just give the situation a chance to take its course, and so that people can come back to focusing on business again and on work and things of that nature. And again, that has a lot to do with the industry that you're calling on, the target market, your target audience. That's probably the place where I would look first, is to see, okay, who's my audience, and how distracted might they be by the things, or how, how engaged might they be in this and not be able to focus. It's definitely been a challenge for me as well, Cheryl. So you're not at all alone in terms of maintaining both motivation and focus. For me, I have to be on Facebook because of you guys and the group and a couple of other groups that I help Ed with, as well as my own Facebook page for my business and so forth. So I manage a couple of groups, a couple of pages. And what I find is that I am really careful to just simply log into Facebook and go right to the direct links to the pages and groups that I have to be focusing on, and that's it. And I try very hard not to read too much. I happen to be connected personally on Facebook with some really wonderful people who just keep putting out really sweet and sensitive and smart things that are, some are fun and funny and trying to lighten the mood a bit and things like that, that are, you know, that are still appropriate. But I think it's definitely something to know that if you tend to be attracted to it, to be more mindful, to limit your exposure to it. That's something that Ed and I have talked about. And I think he even may have a podcast on that in terms of, a blog article on this particular issue, is that limit your time. So give yourself time to get the updates that you need or that you're interested in on things like Facebook or CNN or any other outlets that you follow, but limit it per day. And it might be, you give yourself 10 minutes a day and that's it, and then move on. If you know that it's distracting you, that it's something you've got to be mindful about managing, that's the bottom line. If it's a distraction, and this is something that we have to get good at as work from homers anyway, right? Because we all know that working from home can be in and of itself a major distraction. It can be really a challenge to work from home. If you've got children, if you've got, other people around, if you've got a garden that needs weeding or those kinds of things, it's amazing how easily distracted we can become. So it's the same thing. you need to treat it kind of the same way and just say, okay, it's a distraction for me. I acknowledge that. Here's what I'm going to permit myself to do. I'm going to permit myself to spend 10 minutes on Facebook every day, just looking at that stuff. And that's it. Instead of timer, you know, get a kitchen timer or a timer on your desktop, something like that. Set a timer so that you're not all of a sudden look up and an hour has passed, you know, because that's, that really does, it gets your mind, it's harder to focus when you've spent too much time on social media. And this is regardless of the given situation, regardless of the current situation, even prior to all of this, even prior to COVID, if you're spending too much time just, you know, cruising through all the social media platforms, it can be incredibly, incredibly frustrating and distracting. And it really can mess with your ability to focus. So know that that is a practice that will make focus even more difficult to begin with. At any point in our existence, social media is, it really does impact your ability to focus. So limit it. That would be my number one recommendation, is to just acknowledge that it's a challenge for you and limit it. You don't need to know every, you know, breaking news story the moment it breaks. It's just not necessary, because it can be so distracting that, and like you said, it really does demotivate you as well. It's hard to focus and concentrate. So I find that the more distance I give myself, the easier it is for me. So, and I don't feel like I'm out of touch by any means. I think it's for me, it's more of a, I like to know just enough so that I'm informed, but not every detail. So, and I hope that's helpful, Cheryl. It is a big issue, and it's something we all need to be sensitive and aware of, but just don't become obsessed with the details. All righty, Gabrielle, she's got all kinds of questions today. That's awesome. So her next question, do you have suggestions or strategies to reach out to bigger corporations when you don't have any corporate experience? I've heard Ed talk about the pains working with small business, and I already feel like I'm coming up against that kind of resistance. No budget, have to work really hard to sell the value of the content. I'm thinking of testing the waters with bigger organizations. Great idea, by the way. Not giving up altogether, but maybe pushing myself to try what I previously thought of as too scary for me right now. On with my experience. My positioning work doesn't really point me in any one direction, no previous career, as I've always kind of freelanced with writing and other jobs. Hearing about people with previous careers leveraging that success makes me wonder how a more energetic, a more generic background can be compelling. So I think that the best thing is for you to look at your experience, because you've been freelancing for a long time. And I'm sure that you've written for some bigger companies. So you don't necessarily have to work in a bigger company and have that experience. I think that having a bigger company as a client also qualifies you. And so if you've written for some larger companies, then that is definitely of value. And so I would concentrate on that. The other thing is to, and I don't recall exactly what industry you are focused on or what your target market is, but are you part of the market, their target market? So in other words, I might be an avid cyclist, right? Maybe I'm really into cycling and that kind of thing. And so maybe so you're a customer, right? So maybe you're calling on a bike, you know, manufacturers or something like that, or, you know, equipment manufacturers for the cycling, for the sport of cycling. So you could position yourself as you understand what the avid cyclist desires, right? So you're part of their target audience. So there's a couple different ways that you can position yourself. And I'm just throwing that out as an example. It's kind of an extreme example, but it's just to give you a sense of, hey, there's other ways to position your value as opposed to just I've got to be part of a big, you know, I have to have big corporate experience in order to write for the big corporations. Absolutely not the case. What I would recommend is that you do the three bears, Goldilocks and the three bears approach, where you try, especially right now, and where you, Gabrielle, have a little bit more experience too than probably a lot of the other folks in the program. Mix your targets. So what I'm thinking is, you know, what I mean by that is I'm going to reach out to this week, for example, I'm going to reach out to 5 small businesses, 5 mid-sized companies, and 5 corporations. And then have that in your marketing mix week after week and see what pops, see what happens, see what kind of response you get. Again, we're talking about A/B testing, but I would strongly recommend that you have a healthy mix of different sizes of companies. And small business can, depending on the small businesses that you're calling on, but sometimes they do have a challenge with budget and things of that nature. Definitely it's not something to be, I think that your experience as a writer will be of value to the bigger companies. I think they want someone who knows, you know, they're going to be looking for somebody who knows and has written before. And not always. Sometimes they're very willing to bring on someone who doesn't have a ton of experience too. So it really depends on the need. It depends on a lot of different things. So they're not looking at just at your background. So just keep that in mind. They might be looking at other parts of your experience. They might be looking at your samples. They're looking at, I don't know, a lot of different things, but it might not just be, do you have the right, you know, have you ever worked for a big company before? That doesn't necessarily matter. And you don't know until you try. And that's why I was saying that Goldilocks and the three bears approach, you know, small, medium, and large, pick a pool of each size. So, and when I say small, medium, and large, we're looking at small businesses, which we all know are, you know, maybe, 30 employees and under or something like that. And then you're going into the mid-sized businesses, which are maybe more like 100 employees to 500 employees, something like that. And then the big corporations where you're in the thousands, right? You've got thousands and thousands of employees. So have a mix, have a real mix and see what kind of results. Some might be more open to and receptive to you than others. You don't know, but again, this is a test. You're going to try it and see what happens. That is what I would suggest, is you don't know until you try it. And you don't necessarily have to leverage your background. It could be, I think for you, it would be more along the lines of I've already completed these types of assignments and I have that kind of experience, as opposed to I worked for 20 years in a big corporation. So it's going to be a mix, and don't let that stand in your way. You know, don't make your lack of direct corporate employment mean anything. It may only mean something to you, but it may not mean too much to the hiring manager, right? To the person you're reaching out to. I hope that's helpful. It's can be tough when you're first getting started, but it's a matter of just keep. Stay out there, keep asking, and you know, keep trying different things, testing different messages, testing different approaches, testing different, again, 3 different size companies, have a good healthy mix, maybe an agency or two that you might reach out to see if you can get some work. That's a great way, by the way, if you're looking to write for a larger organization. I worked for an agency couple of years back, a really big agency in the Boston area. And I got a chance to work with Abbott Labs, the huge pharmaceutical company. I never would have gotten in there any other way. So I was working with some high-level people doing thought leadership articles and corporate profiles and things like that. I did some really cool writing work. Never would have had that experience. I never worked for a company that big before either. I worked for some in my career for some bigger companies, but nothing like an Abbott Labs, which is a global, large global organization. So that's the value of tucking in behind an agency. If that's where you want to go, it might make sense to try getting into an agency, getting some projects and working for under an agency. The pay isn't quite the same, but it'll give you great samples and great experience. I hope that helps. Oh, great. And Gabrielle says, yeah, I focused on agencies today and I'm excited about potentially being able to work on big or high visibility projects. Yeah. Don't hesitate to start small. If an agency wants to get to know you and they're going to just throw you some smaller projects to try things out, that's great. And work your way and then kind of build yourself as a resource for them. Yeah. I it was fun. That was the part of working for the agency. And this is I'll share the name of it. It's called Skyword. It's all one word, sky and then word.com. Big agency, took me a while to get in. But they do some pretty high profile companies. They're after the big guns. and it's quite a machine they have cranking there. And I got to a point where they were actually paying me pretty nicely. But that was after that, it took me a while to work my way up, if you will, and start working with a more sophisticated, that they were willing to plug me in on projects that were with a more sophisticated client or whatever. Took a while, but it was a cool experience. I learned a lot. Yes, let me type it in for you. They're hard to get into, I can tell you that. I don't even know how I was able to get in. I think it took me like 2 years to get in or something. I applied, I built my profile, I filled it all out, and then all of a sudden, like 2 years, and I've forgotten about them to tell you the truth. And then like 2 years later, I got an email. Hey, you have perfect background for one of our clients. And I started writing for a very large payroll company. It was a national payroll company. And the reason that they, this is a good, an important point. The reason that they wanted me is because their target audience was small business, small to mid-sized business. And I had experience with that. So I got to work for a national company because of who their audience was. And that's kind of how that got started. I'd forgotten about that, actually. So yeah, it's, you just never know. All right. Well, I am just going to pop in here and ask you just give us an update on what's been the most valuable so far that we've talked about. And I am still taking questions. I'm just going to take a little break here and see how what's been resonating for you so far today. And Laird, I see your post. He says, I have the opposite problem of Gabrielle. I have experience working in corporate, but 30 years as a freelancer in tech support and print artwork for the publishing industry. However, I have no writing experience. So I'm trying to market myself, helping small to mid-sized companies and understanding their needs based on my working experience, but not leading with any writing experience. It's interesting. Yep. And so that's what's so interesting, Laird, actually, is that when people come through this program, it's it's really a mix of both. Some people have never really done much writing and they're scared to death to go out and, you know, reach out like, oh, talk about imposter syndrome, right? I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm going to write something for you. And then the opposite, you know, Gabrielle, she's got writing experience, but doesn't have any direct experience maybe in the industry she's calling on or that kind of thing. So neither of those has to be a barrier to entry. It might make it a barrier to entry in your mind, but it's not necessarily a barrier to entry. So just be aware that, you know, you're in a position where I absolutely understand you feeling uncomfortable or, you know, that imposter syndrome kind of thing. I can guarantee you that if you have any skill in writing at all, that you are a far better writer than 90% of the people out there. And that is honestly really the truth. really the truth. And I had to keep reminding myself of that. It's like, you know, there are times when I've read emails from other people that I just think, facepalm, you know, you're just like, oh my gosh, use spell check. We're going to pay attention to spell check, you know, use it, please. People aren't good writers. Generally speaking, people in who are engineering types or more technical types tend to be not great writers because they're just too analytical and, you know, or just aren't as sensitive. Writing is a little bit of an art, right? So there's some creativity and some art that is involved in writing. Even tech writing, even writing for technical companies, there's definitely an art to it. But a lot of people, not many people are gifted writers. And we're all at varying levels of our skill, but I can tell you that you're a better writer than 90% of the people on the planet. So you're really okay. It really is okay. And give yourself some credit for what you know how to do. Especially if you've done any of the training, you've gone through any other courses. I know some of you come through, I think, AWAI. And, you know, I went through quite a few of their courses and things like that, learning how to write for different audiences and different products and things like that. You go through some of that, you take it seriously, you learn how to write better. You're a better writer, trust me, than 90% of the people out there. So just keep that in mind. All right. So Scott says what was valuable so far today was the LinkedIn advice. A little wary there. I also get connections with people from out of nowhere wondering if I should connect. I have had experiences on LinkedIn with what I call creepers. We used to talk about that in the training class that I did. But yeah, there's creepers out there. I think I even mentioned it in my training in session 5 here, is that, you know, you do have to be mindful. I had a creeper. I can't remember if we connected. I don't even know. I might have just hit connect, not thinking. And this was a couple years back. And that's when I started getting really, really skeptical and careful and who I accept. But, you know, as soon as I accepted, he started like marriage proposal kind of stuff. Like, really, buddy? Oh my gosh. Oh, this is not a dating site. It is a business site, please. And so I reported him and LinkedIn took care of it. It was really great. So they're excellent in terms of supporting and keeping, policing their platform and keeping it holding true. At least back then they jumped right on it and it was wonderful. So I appreciated that. But so that's part of the reason why I tend to be a little careful about who I accept. And if I don't know them, I just dismiss it, because you can dismiss those invites if it's someone that you don't really know and like, yeah, bye. I just dismiss them. So I tend to be a little careful about that. It's kind of funny. Let me see. So Gabrielle says the Goldilocks approach to prospecting, reaching out to a small number of mid-sized and large businesses, makes the idea of prospecting to them seem more doable. I also like the idea of a mixed approach. LinkedIn advice has been helpful. Great. Yeah, mixed approach. Yeah, mix up your targets. Try some different, you never know. You might stumble across something or like, oh, I had that happen. I think I use it in my training, as a matter of fact, but it was a seriously very real situation where I reached out and invited a woman to connect with me. And I said, and I don't remember the invite I used, but it was a warm invite. It was, hey, you know, I see we're connected to so-and-so or something like that. She got back to me right away. Within a week, she was a new client of mine. It was really interesting. She said, I'm so glad you reached out. I actually am thinking about starting to write an article series. I really need your help. Let's talk. And literally within a week, I had a very nice project that I signed her up for. So it was, you just never know. You know, you reach out in these situations, making sure that you're reaching out to the right people. But, and it's the same thing when you're reaching out to business It's just, you never know. They just, you hit them on the right day. And the next thing you know, you have a new client. So Laird says, having any skill in writing is better than 90%. Yeah, I'm glad you appreciate that. It's true. My goodness. And I built my website using what I learned in this program. This helped a lot with confidence. Yeah, exactly. And when you start building your website, you start realizing, you know, and honestly, writing is, give yourself some credit. Definitely give yourself some credit. Gabrielle liked my marriage proposal. Seriously, this guy was a creeper. Oh my gosh. Really, buddy? Oh my gosh. So then I was using Pamela Anderson's, you know, picture in my profile. So I took that down. No, I'm kidding. It was so funny. I'm like, all business, you know, I'm like all business on LinkedIn, because that's what it's for. It's for business. And he's just such a turkey. And anyway, all right. Chris says, most valuable for me is your reminder to strive for good, not perfect. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I'm glad that was helpful. Yeah, you're gonna evolve. You know, this is gonna develop and evolve with time. Just move forward. Just do, you know, get it to where you're comfortable, and you know, or that it's good. It doesn't have to be perfect, and move forward. So great. Marianne is pivoting. Have something to start with. Yes, good, good. I'm glad that was helpful. Sometimes I get off on tangents, but I want to make sure they're resonating with you folks, so that you're finding it. You're finding it helpful. All right. Let me just go back and make sure I didn't miss anything. I don't think so. And I think it sounds like we've got our questions kind of wrapped up. So I'm going to ask you my last question, and I will take another question because we do have a few minutes here, but just let me know what your top action item is in the week ahead. And it does not have to be anything we talked about today. It's just whatever you're working on. Definitely let me know what you're going to be taking action on. I like to hear what you've got going. And the other thing is, if you need help with that, every Monday, just as a reminder in case you missed it, Ed posts an accountability post in the Facebook group, and it's just asking, what are the three things you're going to do to move your business forward this week? And that is a great place for you to put that there. So in other words, for example, you might say, I'm going to reach out to 5 large companies this week. That's good. I'm committing to doing that. And sometimes typing that in and knowing that you've put it in public, because I look at those, knowing that you've put it out there in public is just helpful for you to get that actually done. So any action item that you're thinking about and planning on for the next week, let me know. Awesome. Gabrielle says, keep prospecting and fold in some of the advice I got today. It's great. I'm going to be kind of watching the situation here in the United States and seeing what, how things go over the next couple days, and then decide on Monday whether or not I'm going to be taking action on that. I created a mini course that I, first time ever, and going to be rolling that out, and wanted to roll it out for June 1st, and decided to just table it for the week and see what next Monday looks like. So not a big deal. It's, you know, I want to make sure that people are able to focus on it. Just like we talked about, the focus has been a challenge for everyone. So Cheryl says, keep on keeping on. Good for you. And thank you, Gabrielle. Yes, it was a fair amount of work, and it's a mini course. It takes less than an hour. It's just under an hour to complete 5 modules, and whew, it's a lot of work. So, but I'm excited, excited to get it out in the world. All right. Any other action items from anybody? Laird's has practiced some writing samples and continue to build lists for prospecting. Great. Great. Good for you. Awesome. Well, for those of you who are here today, thank you so much. Thank you for your participation. You had some great questions, and I appreciate you stepping up and asking questions and and participating. Your participation makes it more helpful for everyone, and certainly I hope helpful for you as well. No, Chris says he's going to complete his positioning copy this week. And he also asked a quick question: do you or Ed have a list of recommended proofreaders or copy reviewers for hire? I believe that is in the Facebook group. Let me just make a note. I believe if you, there's a resources. If you go to resources, if you type in like hashtag resources in the Facebook group, there's a document that's been posted that the support team manages. And so as people share different resources that they've used to help build their business, if you haven't seen it, definitely check it out. That might have a proofreader. I'll check proofreaders. I'll check with Ed, or we can, post that also in the questions, the Q&A thread, and we'll get you some ideas. Marianas is sending my page for a review. Great. Yes, hashtag resources, correct. Did not know about it. Yeah, check it out. Yeah, and he does, yes, Ed mentions a proofreading company in the course material. Yeah, there's a couple of different, I have a private, there's a gentleman that I've used for, that I recommend to my clients, but he proofreads, he does mostly books, which is what I focus on. That's where my business is. So he's a proofreader for books, manuscripts. Ed mentions proofreading in the course. Gabrielle says, I can't remember the name. Oh, there you go. Proofread now. There you go. Thank you, Mariana. That's awesome. Awesome, awesome. Great. Scott says he's going to research some education-related companies for contact info, but also who to send warm emails to. My own network has no real connections. Sounds like a good plan, Scott. Excellent. All right. Well, thank you all for being here. Thank you for the participation and the great questions. I appreciate it. I wish you all the best for the rest of this week, and definitely stay active on the Facebook group so that we can support you there in between these calls. Don't hesitate to post your question and stay active. So I hope all of you guys have a great rest of your week. Thanks again for being here, and we'll see you on Facebook sometime soon.